You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The playbill for the Bedlam productions of St. Joan and Hamlet kind of says it all. Two epics, 50-something roles, four actors, which sounds like an insane undertaking, but it's also one that's been getting the most glowing reviews. Ben Brantley of The Times wrote that anyone who listens to the eminently sane and persuasive voices of Bedlam is destined to become a convert. And The Wall Street Journal's Terry Teachout wrote, Bedlam's off-off-Broadway version of St. Joan is the most exciting George Bernard Shaw revival I've ever seen, bar none. So I'm happy to welcome both Eric Tucker, who, in the spirit of Bedlam, is not only its artistic director and the director of St. Joan, but who also plays Dunois, Warwick, and others. And he joins us now with Andras Nichols, who plays the title role of St. Joan. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Now, Andras, you have to only play one part here because you are so central to the play.
Well, that may actually be a question better fielded by Eric. I play one in Joan, and it runs, of course, in rep with the Hamlet. And
you play a number of women in that.
And some men. I play about a dozen characters in the Hamlet.
Well, you have to because you're the only woman in the company.
True.
Well, the four actors shift so smoothly between characters, sometimes without moving. It makes me wonder if you ever lose track yourselves of where you are and who you should be.
No, not anymore. We've done it so many times. I think we've performed Joan a total of almost 8 or 9 months, so we're pretty used to it now.
And what made you choose to do these two plays in rotating repertory? You see any similarities between them?
Yeah, I think, there are many similarities. I think there are many differences. We don't tend to try to purposely highlight any of that stuff. We leave it to the audience. A lot of people see one. Maybe they don't see both, but certainly the sort of solitary nature of the lead characters, how that's sort of the rest of the world against them. You get a feeling of that in those two worlds.
On the other hand, Hamlet is full of doubt, and Joan is never full of doubt.
That's right. That's absolutely true. Yeah, that's really great. But I wanted Joan to be our first play because I knew it hadn't been done in anything really notable in New York for about 20 years, and I just thought and I knew the power of the play, and that I thought New York audiences would respond well to it.
Well, it dates from 1923, which is just 3 years mm-hmm. after Joan had been canonized.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think he was making some point?
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, he's Irish, but in England. Mm. And, of course, the play is about the British and the French. Mm-hmm. And the Brits are kind of the villains in this play.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about Joan is that every time when she was made venerable and when she was made blessed and when she was made a saint, those all correspond to times when she was being used as a political pawn,
yeah.
Even when she was, whether she was alive or dead. It was always for something to use her as a national symbol, of course. So it's like she's always been someone's tool
by both the French and the English, actually, yeah. In different yeah. moments
yeah.
in history.
Yeah,
have claimed
well, it's a really fine play, and it has been made into a couple of movies,
yeah.
including one by Carl Dreyer, although
mm-hmm.
One of the greatest filmmakers that ever lived. Although
yeah.
he got rid of most of the dialogue, but why do you think it's so rarely performed?
It's a really difficult play, I think. I think because there's so many roles, it's very long, it requires, if you think of it in the traditional sense, it would cost a lot of money nowadays.
Well, you must have cut a fair amount out.
We didn't, actually.
Didn't streamline it at all?
No,
really.
Only the epilogue. We cut the epilogue down, but otherwise it's pretty much the full text.
That's why it goes 3.5 hours?
Well, it goes, we do it in three with
just
including,
under three. Actually.
Just under three, including two intermissions.
How much direction does Shaw give the actors? Some actors maintain that they can just say his words and trust that it'll all work out.
I think that this play in particular is an unbelievably well-built roller coaster. It's in that it it takes such a surprising course if you trust it. Every scene is an argument, a really well-articulated argument, and you never wonder when you're in it what you're doing there, what you're fighting for.
You don't have to fill in any blanks.
No. And
so you don't have to reinterpret, or
I don't think.
But Shaw does write in his his scripts. Almost every line has a sort of a line reading just before each.
Yes.
He certainly gives direction plenty.
You mean with passion?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Quietly,
or yeah, exactly.
Well, Anders, your journey is almost bursting with passion and fervor, but also with what Terry Teachout calls an idealistic tomboy. Do you see yourself as that?
Myself, yeah. Or
no, I
my
mean
Joan?
your character.
Yeah, I think so. I think whether or not she's a tomboy probably doesn't, she's not really aware of. Certainly idealistic. I think she's just so sure of what the task at hand is and what is in her to give.
You've been doing this for 8 months. Actors often talk about how a character develops for them.
Yes.
Are you playing her differently now than you did at first?
In some ways, things change, of course, as you try to keep it fresh and alive over the course of a long run. And also just the more time you spend with the language, you hear things differently and things resonate differently. And I think that it's gotten deeper and simpler in a lot of ways over the 8 months, for sure. Simpler in a more, I think, a stronger way, a more powerful way. And it's in some ways it's easier to do now than it was 8 months ago.
Well, I'd imagine in some ways for you, Eric, switching from character to character, there are moments when it's not easy to do.
Yeah, I think there
do,
are.
Do you do certain things to clue yourself, like body movements, or turn your head a certain way so that you know you're somebody else?
Yeah, definitely. I think that after doing a long run, also each character keeps deepening and you sort of feel this an energy shift as well.
Well, in some ways it's easier with Hamlet, isn't it? Because audiences are pretty familiar with that play.
Yes, in some ways. I think the one thing that made it more difficult was that though there are a lot of roles in Joan, some of the smaller male roles, that they don't necessarily have an arc in the play. But with Hamlet, all of those roles have an arc. They're all very much three-dimensional, deep human beings. And so in a way, for these guys to switch amongst those roles was more challenging because they had to develop them all deeply.
Yeah.
And in Joan, there are a few sort of toss-offs that we take on, but we know we won't see them again. So,
I'm speaking with two cast members from a very unusual production of St. Joan in tandem with Hamlet. Eric Tucker directed it, as well as playing a number of roles. And Andris Nichols plays the lead. There also are all these clerics. Much of the play is about people deliberating as what to do with her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, they wind up deciding that she should be burned at the stake.
Mm.
Are they self-serving? Are they defending their turf? Do you think that some of them were intentioned?
Well, in many cases, they're all defending their turf, certainly. But what's brilliant about this play is that Shaw doesn't write any bad guys in the play. Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. Everybody thinks they're following their own convictions. And of course, you know, even when we don't agree with our political leaders, we hope that they think they're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You know, even if we don't agree with them. So I think what's wonderful about this play is that you get a lot of different points of view, and they're all very earnest.
Well, you could also play Hamlet as though no one is a villain. Or you could play Hamlet as people are villains. There are bad guys and good guys.
Yeah.
Your portrayal of Hamlet has been compared by some to Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight.
I forgot about that. I think that was Terry Teachout who said that.
Yep. You like that?
I think many actors would like that. That was an iconic performance, you know, from a great actor. So, yeah, I definitely know where he gets that from. There's a lot of crazy energy in that.
Well, he didn't direct himself, but you are directing yourself.
Yeah.
Is that difficult? People talk about directing movies with themselves in the cast, mm-hmm. but I would think doing that is still easier because you say cut and then
you can watch it.
Yeah, you can watch it and see what's going on.
Yeah, it is. It can be difficult. I've done it enough that there are certain aspects to it that don't feel out of the ordinary for me at all. But it can be. I think I bring people in at the end who I trust to watch and give me notes.
You wind up having to direct the audience in these productions as well. How and why did you do you have people shifting their seats?
We do. Between each act, we shift the theater around. So when people come back in from the lobby, they're in a different seat with a different perspective, focused on a different part of the room. And I think what it's done for these plays is it especially with Joan, it takes them on a physical journey, on a ride that they don't often get. You're not going to get in a Broadway house because you can't do that. And people really love it.
How did the two of you connect in the first place? How did you wind up joining forces?
We met a number of years ago up at Shakespeare and Company.
The bookstore.
The theater company up in Lenox, Massachusetts.
Right.
And we met there, and then I hired Eric to direct a play that I was producing, and in about a year later or so, we worked together for the first time really on that project.
Yeah, and we had a really good rapport and thought we should form a company together.
And you decided to call it Bedlam?
Yeah, well, you go through so many names. You make lists of names from everything that's ridiculous to pretentious to whatever. And you saw it on a sign. You thought you saw Bedlam on
a sign,
but it said Bedlam, but it didn't say Bedlam, but we thought that was a good name, so.
Well, I started by saying there's something insane about what you're trying to do here. That
frankly,
makes sense.
Right.
You also have talkbacks. How often do you do that?
We do them on this run, because it's a commercial run, we haven't done any – we've only done them when they've been requested by the producers for certain things, so not as often. But when we did the productions as Bedlam Productions before, we did have talkbacks quite often, especially if you get a high school group or something for Hamlet, we'll talk to them.
Although I understand that an older woman once – compared what you do to radio productions.
Yeah, that was when we were down just outside of D.C. at the Olney Theater Center. It was wonderful. She was saying that it reminded her of listening to stories on the radio when she was younger, and how much of her imagination was involved in creating the world around the language.
Well, I have talked to people who did radio drama and then later or worked on the stage at the same time films, and they said that it was the hardest because you just you couldn't use your body language. You couldn't do anything other than communicate through your voice and through affect.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's also something that you rely on a lot, especially when you're doing four or five different characters.
Yeah. Well, and it's – these are such text-heavy plays, and I wanted it to be about the story and the text. And so we also – they're very minimal. There's no set practically, very few costumes. It's all modern, very street clothes sort of, very few costumes, very few props. And so we do rely on that.
How long is this run?
We close March 9th. We've extended to March 9th. So,
and then do you have other plays in the works? Are you rehearsing other things while you're doing this?
We're not rehearsing for Bedlam yet. All of us have other projects outside of Bedlam that we'll go off and do. So we're planning to bring out our next Bedlam shows in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what you're going to do?
Not
Are you willing
quite.
To reveal?
Not quite. We have a new adaptation of a novel that we're going to do, and another play. We're going to do two things in rep with a cast of 10.
Eric Tucker is the artistic director of Bedlam, director of their new production of St. Joan. He also plays Hamlet, as well as Dunois, Warwick, and others in St. Joan. And Andras Nichols plays the title role of St. Joan, as well as Gertrude and Ophelia and others in Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And they are at the Lynn Redgrave Theater at 45 Bleecker Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. And keep in mind that Time magazine called this one of the top 10 plays of last year. Mm. Thank you both for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.